Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I have as my guest this evening, Daniel Moritz,
who is
an author and has quite a personal story of his journey, starting out as a pastor's son and yet not really surrendering his life to the Lord until later, after he went through some very difficult things. So Daniel, you've written a book and we're going to be talking about it. The name is Bold Pursuit. It's a 90-day devotional for men. Now, if you're one of our listeners who's not a man and you're saying, okay, I guess I can tune this one out. No, don't. Because actually, men and women and children as well should be seeking the heart of God. So Daniel, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
Share, if you would, a bit of your own backstory. And then we'll talk more about the book.
Sure, sure. It's kind of hard to just tell your whole life story, right, in just a few minutes. But I grew up in Namibia, beautiful country, not a lot of people. And then in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And I had an amazing dad. He was a preacher and he lived the way he preached, which was quite amazing. And he also helped people who were demon possessed at some point, and there were a few Satanists and even the police called him. So there were a few things that I experienced when I was younger. So I knew God was definitely real. I knew it for a fact, but I was more like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
I did not want to accept God as my Lord as well. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to, especially after I lost my first brother. Mm. His name was Janu. And he was killed in Johannesburg. He was shot. He was my big brother. I looked up to him and then he was just gone. So I came to the realization that death is a thing and we will all die one day. And yes. My grandparents started to die. And, you know, from that point on forward until even after school, you know, I just wanted to live for the world. Mm-hmm. After school, I wanted just to leave South Africa, all of this. And even though inside of me, I knew, you know, all the messages that I heard my dad preach and the Holy Spirit kind of say, Daniel, you're going the wrong direction. And I pushed it away forcefully with my own will. And I made a lot of money in England. We grew up poor for a while because my dad stopped being a preacher at one church and he just went around preaching. And so he relied just from people giving him money where he preached, right? And so we even lost our house and everything, and we just lived in a small house in someone's yard. And so I remember even one time I asked my mom for just a chocolate, and she said, no, we just can't afford it. And so that was how I grew up. So I wanted to make money, so that's why I went to England, and I did. I worked for a company called Scottish and Southern Electricity, and the money I got, I spent drinking. So I was really the prodigal son, and I chased after women, and that was the lifestyle that I just went for. And the one day I got a call from my dad, and it was about my second brother, Etienne, and he just passed away. And that was a hard hit because we were almost like twins. You know, we did everything together. We had the same clothes on, the same hairstyle growing up. And here my second brother is gone. So I flew back and they just kept his body alive because he was brain dead. It happened in a car crash. Mm. And I remember I just went in and I just sat next to him and I talked to him and said, don't do this. Don't go. Not you too. And at that moment, you know, I started to ask God, why my second brother? is it not enough? The first brother, the way I grew up, if you are real and a God of love. And you know, God is so merciful, so loving. And it's in that instant where he started to talk to me. And it's as if he almost took me and gave me an objective view, a bird's eye view of my life. And I could hear him speak in my inner man and say, Daniel, your two brothers were ready. I just took them home. You are not. What if I came and took you? Where would you have been now? And I knew. And I said, hell, I would definitely be in hell. And so just to make the story short, I prayed and said, God, all right, I'm sorry. Me, a little small human being living for this life, and what would it help me to gain the whole world and lose my soul? I know I'm sitting here and I'm looking at my brother. They're going to turn off the machines, and he worked out. He looked good, but it doesn't even help him at all. Mm-hmm. Now he's dead, and I'm going to face that as well. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow, in a week, or a few years, but so I submitted. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I started to really walk with him. And then he started the journey with me, and there's a lot to tell here, Jim, but I only also came to fully surrender when my dad passed away later. There were still a few things that I was holding back, and maybe we can talk about that as we move forward.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. I know that's a hard story, even having lived it years ago. It's a hard story still to tell today, and yeah. I appreciate you sharing that. But I want folks to know that what you're teaching in this book is not just a bunch of platitudes. It's coming from the place of someone who ran hard in the other direction.
Yeah.
And was brought back by God. The hound of heaven caught you.
Yeah.
And brought you back. And now, instead of running from God, you are not only running to know him more, to seek him more, but you want others to join you in that race. So talk with us now, if you would, about the book, a 90-day devotional. This is not to suggest that at the end of 90 days, a man will know everything he needs to know about God. He'll just, his whole life will have been completely transformed. 90 days, that's all it takes. That's not what you say in this book. What you do is call people to start in the right direction.
Right.
And if you do something for 90 days, it begins to become something you'll keep doing, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So Bold Pursuit, of course, is, you know, like you said, it's not just also for men, but women can read it as well. My wife read it and she's like, wow, women can read this too. but you know, we live in a day and age where men are being attacked from every front. And we just see that people grow up without fathers in the home, even in South Africa, and it influences the whole world. Because if you have fatherless homes, you have fatherless societies, right? And you see what's happening in the world. And so this book is there so that men can go back to the Word to see what is a true man of God. So it's there to, first of all, show people what a true Christian really is, to understand, you know, that there are a lot of lukewarm Christians out there in the world. But we know that God says in his word that if you're lukewarm, he will spit you out of his mouth. And so there's a line drawn, and you need to make a decision. And if you make that decision, you need to follow and pursue Christ with everything that is in you. Because there is so much. It doesn't stop there. The story doesn't stop there. There's so much more after you accept Jesus Christ into your life. It's a whole road of sanctification. And what people don't realize is that when you are on this road, you shouldn't be stuck and just be a baby in Christ, an infant as Christ. You can know God deeper and fuller. And God says in his word, you know, in Matthew 6, that if you put him first, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you.
Yes.
But people start to look for all these other things first.
Yes.
And then they go back to God, right? And so this book will help people to start with God, to pursue what matters most, but also give them concrete facts and guidelines with certain things like how to fully surrender. What does it mean to truly abide in Christ? because a lot of people don't understand that. And one of the reasons for that is because a lot of Christians today don't read their Bibles. They don't know the word anymore. So they need to go back to the word. So Bold Pursuit is packed with God's word. We go back to the Bible the whole time.
Well, and in doing so, you're teaching people that you're not the guy with the answers. God is the one with the answers, and he's given them to us. When I tell people often that when I preach, if someone comes up to me afterwards and says, oh, Pastor, this is just amazing, I never would have been able to figure that out. I feel like I failed. But when they come to me and they say, oh, you're exactly right, that's what it says, then I feel I succeeded, because what they're realizing is all I did was point them to God's word. I'm pointing them back to what God has already spoken. It's not some new thing. It's not, hey, this is a new discovery we've just made. This is God's word.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change, because God doesn't change, but he changes us through his word.
Yeah. He is the potter. We are the clay. And we need to come to that point where we fully surrender in ourselves and just come and say, like David, here I am, search my heart, take out everything that is not right, and just teach me to walk in your footsteps. I mean, Jesus gave us that example the day that he prayed, and he said, not as my will, but your will be done, when he prayed to God the Father. And so we need to come to that point in our lives as well, where we study his word, and then when we read the truth, we shouldn't just read it and think, oh, I need to tell this to John or to Susan or to, we need to take it and apply it in our lives to be doers of the word and not just hearers.
Amen. Amen. And it is about a relationship, not just about precepts and principles. The Apostle Paul, who certainly knew the Lord, who encountered the Lord in such a dramatic way and had his life completely changed. He did literally a 180. It was real repentance, and he being a persecutor of the church to a leader and church planter, and wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. But the Apostle Paul, as a mature follower of Christ, says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection. He was a man who, after all that he'd been through, was not just looking back. He was straining toward the finish line. He said, I am pressing on, running the race, in order to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me.
And he's an amazing example for us. You know, and we keep thinking about the apostles, like, oh yeah, they were apostles, but they were men. They were normal men. And so we also have the responsibility to grow in Christ. You know, a lot of people go to Christ and they just want to be fed the whole time, but they need to spend time in God's word. They need to go into their room, close the door, spend time with God and grow themselves. And the beautiful example, while you're talking about Paul, he left us, is that I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. You know, that is his life now, right? In Galatians 2. And so that is the example Jesus set for us as well. He said, if anyone wants to follow me, then he need to deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. And that is what Paul did. That is what all the other apostles did. And that is what we need to do as well.
Amen. And that is therefore, by definition, not going to be comfortable.
No, definitely not. Yeah. He's going to call you to sacrifice certain things that you would definitely not want to sacrifice. But if you do it, if you come to that point of complete surrender, then you will realize that those things you held on to, those were the things that you had to let go of before you can grow and change into what God wanted you to be, so that he can use you for something else and then open the other doors that he wants you to go through.
Amen. Amen. Well, this book is one that, again, seeks to help men really get on the journey going forward boldly. Bold Pursuit is the name, and it's a 90-day devotional for men seeking the heart of God. And the book is coming out in August, and I want to encourage folks to check that out. It's published by Nelson, which is a division of Thomas Nelson, you know, very, you can find this book easily. So I encourage our listeners, check this out. And again, if you're one of our lady listeners, you can still read this book, but you might know a man, a young man, an older man, whomever,
right,
and say, this would make a good gift.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will appreciate it and not feel like, what do you mean? Are you saying I need to grow? Well, yes. it would be helpful. So you can pray about how to get it to them. But you will also find that, ladies, it biblical truth is good for all of us. And so, men, please don't take this book and preach it to your wives. Live it out before them.
Mm.
Demonstrate in the way you pursue God that there's no greater, more rewarding journey than to be seeking to know him more.
Amen.
Now, Daniel, tell us about your living there in South Africa.
Right.
How long have you been back in the country?
Well, I came here just before COVID, and I kind of got stuck here. But it's also good. It's part of God's plan, right? And so right now we're here at St. Francis Bay. That's where we live, near the coast. And we're waiting actually for our visa papers. We've been busy with the process for 3 years, and then we're going to immigrate to America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to look us up when you get over here.
Oh, definitely. I will, for sure.
We are in one of the most beautiful parts of the country, East Tennessee, and I'm giving you an honest invitation to come and visit us here in the Smokies. So you're welcome here. Tell us about your family.
You.
Who said we?
Yeah. So right now it's me and Akira, my beautiful wife. We've been married for 13 years. And we don't have any kids yet, only fur kids, little Pomeranians, Togo and Chippy. Those are their names. And we're still praying about kids. That's in God's hands. That's another thing of complete surrender, right? Is accepting God's will. But if it's going to happen, it will. If not, it won't. We're also praying about maybe later on, if that's not his will, maybe he wants us to take care of other kids. But we'll see. And I've seen what you are busy doing there with Orange as well, and helping families. And it was quite amazing for me to see that, because that's something that I'm praying about right now. And the second thing is that your ministry is called Abiding in Christ. And my dad, who passed away, that was his main message as well, Abiding in Christ. He's got an Afrikaans website called Blay in May, which means abide in Christ. And so it was just amazing. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, now you have to come to East Tennessee.
Yes, I think so too. Definitely.
Well, folks, when we talk about these things, I want our listeners to understand this is not just platitudes. This is not something that, you know, you flip a switch and suddenly it's done. This is a journey. It is a relationship. And, you know, there are times when he will ask things of you that you just think, I don't understand that. I don't get this. I don't see. And Daniel, you described in your own life coming to the point where you said to the Lord, why? Why would you do this? Two of my brothers? Why? But God had an answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. You have to come to that point where you crucify yourself. You have to deny yourself and realize you cannot see the future. God can. God is perfect. He knows everything. He doesn't even live in time. He's outside of it. He's not controlled by what he created. And so that was the first time for me where I asked God, why? Why did you take my brother? And then the second one. But there's a few things then from that point onwards where there's a few things that happened where I had to ask him why again. And it never stops, you know, because once you overcome one thing, you know, there's the next thing and then the next thing and the next thing. There's not really a life of ups and downs. There's just a life with Christ where he uses everything together for good towards you, right? Romans 8 verse 28.
Yes.
And what I had to let go of, the big, big, big thing that brought me to my knees to really complete surrender and say, all right, God, not my will, but your will. And that was my dad, my father. He was the pillar of our family. I loved him a lot. And he was the one thing I held on to. Yeah. God wanted me to go to China. I did not want to. And I just found out my dad has multiple myeloma cancer. And the doctor said he's probably got only a few weeks left. And I did not want to go. My dad said, Daniel, like I always tell you, you have to put God first.
Amen.
He said that in an instant, not even thinking about it twice, even though he knew he might not see me again.
Yeah.
But he already came to that point of complete surrender, just like God had to bring Abraham to sacrifice his own son to see if he was willing to do it.
Yes.
And just like when he called a disciple and the disciple first said, well, let me first go and bury my father. And he said, Well, let the dead bury the dead. Mm-hmm. And I never understood that. And that is the verse that God gave me when I did not want to let go of my dad.
Yeah.
And so I cried and I went. I went to China, and it was in China of all places that he called me to become a preacher. And then what was amazing is that you think you will sacrifice something, but he gives you so much more if you do it. He spared my dad 4 more years.
Wow.
He gave me purpose in my life, why I was actually created in the first place, what he wants me to do. And you have to come to that point of complete surrender, because what a waste of a life it would be to try and follow your own self,
you know,
all the time and accomplish absolutely nothing and then just die. There's no purpose in that. And when you look at the world, that's what they preach all the time. Self-love, self-respect, self-this, self-that, but Jesus calls us to deny ourselves.
Amen. Amen. And again, it's not unkindness on God's part that calls us to sacrifice.
Yeah.
As we look back, even on the hard things, Joseph in the Old Testament, who really wanted to get out of jail.
Yeah.
First, he was a slave. Then he's a prisoner and in the dungeon underneath the house where he had been the head servant. This is a bad scene. And so he says to the wine taster, please, when you get out and you're restored to your position, tell Pharaoh about me, because I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, and it was two more years before he got out. But in retrospect, he realized and was able to say to his brothers, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God, if Joseph had gone home when he wanted to, he and his family would have starved to death. Because the famine was coming. And people came from all around, including where Joseph's family lived, in order to get food. Because Egypt was the only place that had it.
Yeah.
But knew what he was doing and put Joseph where he needed to be in order to save the lives of many others. Likewise, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he says, hey, I want you to don't feel badly about my imprisonment. I want you to know it's turned out for the advance of the gospel.
Amazing.
And so, over and over, we see this all through the scriptures. God is always, as you said, quoting Romans, working for our good, not for the good of everybody, but for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And we
Amen.
Are called to a journey of relationship. And your book, Bold Pursuit, helps get people started taking the right steps. You're like a trainer at the gym who is going to help people get in shape. And once they're doing this and doing the right thing, they know what to do. They're not depending just on your book. They're depending on the Lord and seeking him. So,
Amen. Dan,
thank you so much. God bless you as you continue to pursue the Lord, have a heart after him. And I look forward, God willing, to meeting you in person one day.
God willing. Thank you, Jim. This has been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And may God bless you as well with your ministry.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.